Alright, folks, we're back. Let's see. I was looking over on Stormfront. I was looking at the chat too. It seems like we have quite a few Nimbuster retards in tonight. And I think they're ODing on the fact that Peerless Good Mamzer has not had a show for 2 weeks straight. Not this Saturday, not the previous Saturday when the Trayvon Martin case, verdict was read. And I thought for sure the Jew boy, would have something to say. But, every time you go there, he schedules it for the next week. And this is what he did this week. So you have a bunch of Nimbuster retards who are suffering from, I guess, withdrawal pangs. So they've got to come over and see Pope Marty and hear him talk. Tuesday night, I had nothing but trouble. I had trouble with Tor browser, and you got to blame Visser for that. Visser got me IP banned at TalkShoe, and pretty well that's just the way things are. So as a result, I didn't bother to listen to Elier. He's going again to the Book of Jasher. I pretty well took pictures of Finkelschini and Brian Reel. And, it's hilarious. Here they are talking about how only whites are be saved, and here you have old nigger lips. You're an obvious mamzer and a Jew talking about salvation only for Israel and bitching about Eli James. Now, Eli James, does try to pervert scripture, has a bunch of mamzers coming in like Rebecca Mason and the rest. He doesn't mind the mamzers. He's a Jew himself. And nobody really cared at all about what happened on Judgment Day to non-whites, to Jews. I mean, in dual seedline Christian identity, no Jew, no mongrel is going to be resurrected to face charges. I mean, they're the spawn of Satan. They're, of course, they're evil. They don't have any souls. Non-whites do. So, before Fink, as an Ashkenazi Jew, and Eli James as a Sephardi Jew, had this big old fight about so-called universalism, there was no talk, there was no worry about what happened to non-whites upon Judgment Day. At least in Christian day, they were assumed to be just the beasts of the field, or Jews, the spawn of Satan. Therefore, they don't have any souls. If Jews have souls, they're evil souls. Let their father, Satan, make whatever arrangement he can while he is bound in the, ever-burning fires. I was remember when they had the big fight. I loved the fact they were having a big fight here. It came as quite a blessing to me. Now, in the case of Visser essentially has declared himself with Eli James, and I was listening to some shows again and again, over again, and essentially, Fink won't have anything, to do with him. Fink is sort of like Visser. He has a notion that he has thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners and downloads and what have you. And he thinks his teaching is people paying attention. Well, folks, if you're Christian identity, you find this or Fink's sermons both, new, both original and good here. The problem of it is, like Mark Twain says, is the portions which are good are not original, and the portions which are original are no damn good. would think. Both him and Eli James, they're talking about something which has nothing to do with Christian identity, belief here. Now, when Logan and Elder Gary and me are speaking here, we will have some disagreements. Well, essentially, they're disagreements which are germane to Christian identity. I think both Logan and Gary believe that both Yahweh the Father and Christ the Son are the same individuals. I believe is that they're two different individuals, and that the Holy Spirit is what these individuals are made up of. And I don't know if I believe, but I have been working with them to where, I don't know if I believe about preexistence. I do believe, though, is that only pure-blooded whites can be born again. Have the spirit, have the spirit of Yahweh in them. A bit of it. But, these disagreements are germane among actual Israelites. This other stupid crap about whether or not, whether mongrels and non-whites and Jews are going to be judged, resurrected on Judgment Day and judged, when they don't have a soul to judge, they don't have a law or a covenant to be under or to be judged by. I mean, this is totally without actual Christian identity. I mean, it's something that, Visser cannot understand it because he's a mongrel. You can go ahead and look, and Visser's a mongrel. Obagender Bender is running around. It's some sort of perverted critter. I think it's a Mamzer Jew of some sort that wants to pretend to be Christian identity but doesn't dare show its face or its name. So as a result, it has to have some sort of visible body, and all it can find is Visser. And Visser is a Sephardic Mamzer who had to admit he wasn't white in order to get out of stalking charge. And I think I figured out tonight when Visser disappears is when Bridget the Idiot runs off to see Mommy and Daddy and takes the pisser possums with her. And essentially Visser doesn't dare play the Christian identity, perversion or horseshit that it plays. So essentially it just disappears for a while. And then all you have is one or two tards just going through the motions. I mean, I figured out last year when there was some 65-year-old woman. There was some 65-year-old woman, from across the continent was trying to talk to Obagender Bender, was trying to find a actual person in Australia who believes in Christian identity to talk to, and Obagender Bender wouldn't have anything to do with her. You know what I mean? Seen a picture of a 65-year-old white woman. She is not exactly beautiful, but you can tell she's just sort of like my mother. Just an old white woman here. None too thin. Pretty well past the middle age spread. You can tell, like these farm wives, they got quite a bit of heft on them because they had to, like my mother, had to milk 4 cows twice a day. You can tell is that this woman is probably a farm wife of some sort or another. Women got more fat than men, but you can often tell here a woman who a woman who had to go ahead and do some agricultural labor in her day. And here's this woman, and Obajendebe didn't want anything to do with it. And I knew that Obajendebe would never have a church, because if you are not willing to talk, you're not willing to talk to people, actual people, brethren, then hey, you're not going to have a Christian identity church at all. It's all just, you know, pretend internet shit. That's all it is. That's all it is. So, any case here. Let's see. Hey, Pac, I don't think you're going to go ahead and give us any porn, are you? There's some idiot. Okay, well, I don't mind female porn here, but there was some nimbuster tard who was, who was posting stuff that he shouldn't have been. Okay. Let's see here. Unmute the guests. Heck. I went ahead and one of them came on and posted some bestiality porn. So I'm not in a big hurry to unmute the guests, okay? Alright. Sarah 14. I mean, you have a bunch of people. They show up. They disappear. We still have the Pisser Possum. We still have, Bridget Digit, the rest here. I guess Bridget Digit decided to get tired or something like that here. Yeah, that's all Obagender Bender and Viscer are. It's just a bunch of mams of crap here. All this internet stuff, really, is just mainly just internet crap. Unless it involves actual people getting together in real life who have something in common, that's all it is. It's just internet crap. Now, I've gone ahead, Hunter Walls had Michael Hill, Dr. Michael Hill of League of the South. I don't think it's a bad thing to have some of the squigger whimper stuff, which goes ahead and creates a lot of destructive criticism. I think, telling people is that, hey, the current situation is not sustainable, it's not good, we have no loyalty to it, we ought to have loyalty to our own, I think that's a good thing. I think it definitely is a good thing. But, okay. Let's see here. Well, let's see. They're new guests. Please unmute them. Okay. But the problem I've had is that some of the tards come over, and what they do is they post porn. Okay. And I don't mind normal porn, but I don't much care for bestiality porn. I don't much care for faggot porn. You know what I mean? If I end up having a bunch of tards go ahead and post porn, I'm gonna be a little bit annoyed. Okay? Maybe appropriate. Hot Asian girl sexy workout on ball tees. Oh, come on, APOC. Don't really need that crap. Okay? No, Kenwick man, but boy. right here. Let's see. I mean, Visser has a high collection of porn here. You know what I mean? More than likely. All right. Okay, well, what the heck? These folks want to believe that is Logan Hunter. That's fine by me. What am I going to do about it? Despised by white nationalists everywhere? Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I mean, I don't think, you know, you have Ron Doggett. He goes ahead and he claims that. But essentially, he's going to ask to mouth Trader Glenn Miller. I mean, heck. You know, he has some spot I could denut anytime I want to when people like me come out. I don't believe any of these Zogbots are going to last very long once you end up having the day of the rope here. I mean, you gotta wonder whether Don Black is going to stick by little Derek, who essentially is his own wiggertard, his own little peckerwood, who essentially is going to worry about whether or not on Stormfront they're going to lose the wonderful money sent in to support this little tard. Okay? No, do they? Alrighty here. Okay, 43 here. I'm looking at this here. Well, Visser's just a mamzer here. Okay? He's just a mulligan. Alright? Okay. Well, we just have a whole bunch of people on tonight. A whole bunch of Nimbuster tards. I guess people missed me here. I guess people actually missed me. I tried to call Logan. He was out. And Gary... You know, this isn't really a show for Gary. I don't know what the heck it is, but Tuesday nights used to be the, you know, best nights to have a talk show show. And the last couple Thursdays, it seems like talk show is fixing up crap on Tuesday nights. That's when they fix up stuff, and as a result, it is very hard to get on there. Now I did have a show about the essentially the Book of Judges, which was a wild, wild west where essentially every wigger did as he sees fit here, and you had a period of what, 400 or so years before, you know, the last of the judges was Samuel. And he appointed Israel's first anointed king by Yahweh, and that didn't end up too well. So you had for about, what, 400 some years, you had the Wild Wild West in Israel. Now, you want to go ahead and talk about wiggers. I didn't get to the, you know, Benjamite-Israelite War, where you have the Book of Judges, but at the very end of the Book of Judges, in chapter 17, 18, 19, and 20, well, 17 and 18 concern, Micah, where these Danites who were not able, I went and read the first three chapters, where you had the first judge was Othniel, who was Caleb's nephew and son-in-law, who helped Caleb kill these Anakim who lived around Hebron. These giants who lived around Hebron, around where Abraham spent most of his time in the land of Canaan, on the plains of Mamre, or the trees of Mamre, and buried his wife and himself later on around Hebron. But it's also known as Arba, you know, Kirjam Arba, where the giants lived. These Rephaim. And in any case, the first judge was Caleb's son. And what they allowed, what Yahweh allowed for the first time, was them to be ruled over by these Arameans who were related, you know, from Mesopotamia, who were related to the Hebrews. You know, Aramaic, why, that's what Christ spoke. That was what a lot of the Hebrew was written in. It was in Aramaic, you know, language, and the rest here. It came from Mesopotamia. So for 8 years, Israel was ruled by the Mesopotamians. And Othniel went ahead and ran them off. And for 80 years, they had peace. So you had what? We went ahead and added it up here, and it came to about 198 years after Joshua. So we had about a little bit less than half the time of the book of Judges. Then later on, Ehud killed this Moabitish king, fat Moabitish king called Eglon, who also, here are these Moabites who conquered that. And then they had some more years of peace. So it amounted to about 198 years. These first two judges. So then I went to Micah chapter 17. And folks, do you know that I believe that this priest was called Jonathan, who was the son of Gershom, who was the son of Moses. Moses' grandson, Jonathan, was a Whigger. He was a Levite who sold his services, who worshipped and administered to a silver idol, pretending it was Yahweh. So, looking upon it, is any wonder here, if Moses' grandson, Jonathan, was an amoral Whigger who worshipped idols, who served idols made out of silver, who decided he was going to make who went ahead and stole this thief named Micah's silver idol and his ephod and his teraphim or whatever, his vestments, and then served as high priest to Dan, who pretty well had been gotten their asses whipped by the Amorites and didn't dare conquer any of their actual thing, and went ahead and killed some Sidonians. Well, hey, Moses' grandson was a Whigger. So, not exactly a prophet, but the lawgiver, the giver of the law from Yahweh to the children of Israel, who made the covenant. Moses' grandson was a total worthless Whigger. So can you blame Don Black for squeezing, for having a Whigger? Can't blame him for having a Whigger. It happens, especially with education. You have the Whigger factory. So, the Whiggers, we will have among us always until the times come to where the Whiggers die, as a result of Jews and niggers and the rest here. Simply with a collapsing social order. I'm looking at, Axe Skanky. Okay, Axe Skanky, I think Axe Skanky won. Oh, good Lord, Axe Skanky is looking more niggerish all the time. Heck, I looked at these pictures here. Say nothing, remember everything. That's the last one here. Okay. Well, you have Skanky. He went ahead and showed pictures of his tricolor and the stuff here. Wedgie and Skanky. Did Skanky win? The Gabriel deadly weapon. This thing is really sharp. Well, hell, old Skanky has, my RuPaul costume. Skanky is impersonating Dolly Parton. Okay, gave it where? Skanky won a little weird little axe or something like that. Now Skanky is looking like she is a mestizos, skank eating beaner food. Well, hey, that's nice. I went ahead and clicked the skanky. The skanky, not worthy. Hell acts a skanky. Here's a song I use mouse the intro. Well, hey. Supermodel RuPaul. Well, Skanky, Skanky must have won a prize here. She has a county, she has a county fair. She has a county fair, I wouldn't say tits here. She has county fair something here. Skanky won. Maybe Skanky won something here. They give the overall winner's deadly weapons, and she won a stylized alien predator axe or something like that here. So maybe Skanky won something. Maybe Skanky went and won something. She went to a show. Of course, she said she was facing a 63-year-old. So maybe Skanky has won something here. Any of you Skanky followers here? And then they have a picture. Yeah, a picture of Wedgedoll has a picture of the tricolor and some Anglo Mestizo tard screwing a sheep. Say nothing, remember everything. Oh well. Okay, and they're talking about old Derek Black here, but I guess Skanky, good Lord, Skanky looks sort of like Gorgeous George. He crossed between Gorgeous George and Dolly Parton here. She has a little Jolly Parton wig here, something like that here. Good Lord. Skanky, I don't know, maybe Skanky ought to go transgendered here. You know what I mean? What was all the... She was talking about how she was using the testosterone was 100-100 in terms of what it does for you and, after effects here. And she was using agricultural. She was using veterinarian drugs. So maybe she was injecting herself with bull or goat testosterone. You know what I mean? So maybe, What happens, sort of funny here, I was just sort of thinking, it was an open gender bender and acts skanky. Why, they're sort of like George Hamilton and Michael Jackson, that, crossing the color line. George Hamilton, he's a wigger that's trying to go ahead and look, like a dark beater or a nigger. And Michael Jackson's a nigger trying to go ahead and look like a white man. Well, what you think about is probably acts skanky and open gender bender, well, they're about the same way here. Axe Skanky wants to go ahead and become a man, and open gender bender wants to become a woman. I mean, they're sort of crossing each other here, on the transgenders here, sort of like Michael Jackson and George Hamilton doing on the color line. I was just sort of thinking that. I was going to go ahead and look over on Oxnell Descent, but I hit the Axe Skanky. Hit the Axe Skanky thing. Anyway. So, right, with those Jews here, they're bitching about that here. Okay, let's see. I love them. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm looking at the thing here. All right. White nationalists will now destroy white nationalism. I don't think so. Hunter Wallace, he has a bunch of Jews on there. He has this Jew named Silver here. Anyway, on tonight's show, I said, well, thanks to the vagaries of Talk Show, Thursday night show couldn't start here. Anyway, I said that most of the Whigger nationalists, especially the ones who are real-life Whiggers, not Jews like Alex Linder, Eli James, Bill Fink, or mongrels like Jeremy Visser, Dan Johns, Brian Real, Sword Brethren, or Zogbots like Wickstrom or Mo Gullet, are all together ass clowns. Now, the old resistance, the pre-Waco resistance, the middle guard, those have been in white nationalist or Christian identity resistance for over a decade, know all about David Duck, or as we call it, the Duck, and Don Black, the Duck's dog, and Chloe Black, the Duck's ex-bitch, and the Duck's dog's current bitch. And this, you know, this, none of us tend to obsess over the antics of Derek Black, or the Duck's dog's Peckerwood. The Duck's ability to extract the utmost in wigger mice and geezer gelt, and extract every single Zog buck as oxygen, and convert it to his own use is legendary. Well, that's what Stormfront tries to do. It tries to suck up any money remaining within the movement. That's exactly what it tries to do. Now Duke has, you know, that and Cadgy Pussy from the Wise Mothers, sisters, and everybody else here. So Don Black is the Duck's dog. He took the rap for the Duck's schemes and went to prison. Eventually, like the gut-sick Guido Kuykenweasel with Crohn's due ass gaze, Alex Linder did, 5 years later, 5 years or so later, intellectual work, which was on a web page, was converted to a V-Bulletin forum full of Uyghur nationalist fucktards, yapping, cavorting under the thumb of the Duck and the Duck's dog and the Duck's dog's sub-moderator dogs like Jack Poot, Lycia, Hansky et al. Now the Duck has other dogs who signed the Jew Orleans Protocol to all try to get a cut of the Duck's and the Duck's dog's action. The sperm fart is the Walmart of racism. Critters like Paul Fromm, who whines like a pussy about censorship, especially in Canada, yet for some reason was cheering Brian Rios, you know, on for taking down the webpage in Montreal. Folks, you can't pay attention to any of these tards here on Sperm Front. Okay? Let's understand something. There's no use for any of the intellectual forums or blogs or web pages except for purposes of Uyghur whimpering and to get the whooped up Uyghurs to turn feral on Zog Babylon's ass and to turn mean and violent and go out and kill something, starting with their own Uyghurs and then up the Zogling Uyghur and Mamzer ass clown food chain. Now, of course, master debating can be fun, but there really isn't any, you know, peaceful solution left at all. Now, this weekend, I was listening to a Southern ex-Uyghur say on All Places, the Carolyn Yente Yeager Show, the only thing he saw to do was to wait for the chaos to start, then to go out shooting as many of the Zoglings as possible. Of course, that old bitty Yente skank clucked and fussed, following the likes of Trader Glenn Miller or Uyghur Swill Wheelos or Rabbi Mal Swill Finkelshiny, is to be referred to mere random acts of non-Uyghurishness. But really, what else is to be done? There are no real leaders in either white nationalism or Christian identity, only Jews and Mamzers and Uyghur ass clowns running sundry tard corrals. When you consider it here, I think Covington has vision. I think Tom Metzger has a bit of vision. I think Hunter Wallace has a little bit of vision. I think his vision is somewhat warped in that he sees a place in which all the niggers are going to be good little niggers and go back to picking cotton or whatever, and there's no place for them at all. I mean, heck, you mechanical cotton pickers, what are you going to do with niggers? And I think, you know, I think really, when you're talking about vision in this bowel movement, you have Tom Metzger. I think he has somewhat of a vision. He has a vision of sort of socialism, of working class left wing socialism. I think Tom Metzger has somewhat of a vision. I think Harold Covington has a vision. And among all the people here, increasingly you have a number of them saying that if white people had a country of their own, this wouldn't be happening. I mean, this shit wouldn't be happening. I think that's true. I think Carol Covington has talked and probably is the intellectual who has brought forth the belief of ethno-state nationalism. And I have a vision as well. Of course, my vision involves 120 million dead Uyghurs, 180 million Muds, and only about 10 million white people left, ruled over by 10,000 warlords when Christ returns. And then you know, mopping everything up here. So I don't have, you know, I believe that for Christian identity, you need to get ready to do the killing that is necessary. But for now, you can't do that. You gotta let the Great Tribulation do most of the killing of the Uyghurs, the regime criminals, the Jews, and the Mamzers. And if it was up to me, I mean, heck, I don't have a problem with racial federalism, but it's not going to take place to where you have the niggers, you know, going from Georgia to, what, Alabama and Mississippi? At least the southern portions of them, the interiors of them, which is not, you know, suited for white people. I don't believe that's going to happen. I do believe that at the end of the Great Tribulation, there's only going to be a few million white people left. I believe that, yes, Yahweh and the Great Tribulation is sort of like yo-ho-ho in a bottle of rum. Drinking the devil had done for the rest. I believe that, you know, pretty well, the Great Tribulation, the devil, and the rest will kill most of the creatures who are lawless, who are not under Yahweh's command. Yeah, I believe that's going to happen. So, yes, I have a vision myself here. Now, it's a rather dark vision. It involves pretty well just fire and the sword and bloodshed all across the fruited nutted Zog Plain in the open air coast to coast nut house that we used to call Zog Babylon. Folks, every mighty evil empire destroys its founding stock, but folks, there's no stock left. There's no noble barbarians like there was when Rome fell of Germanic invaders. There is no noble barbarians. That's what Lothar Stoddard said in 1922 in his classic, The Revolt Against Civilization, The Mass of the Underman. So what I see is that for those of us who are really Christian identity, I see Yahweh caring for us so that even if we die in the times ahead, that we will do well. For the rest of you who do not believe, but who are white and who will act here, I believe the fact of doing what you have to do to survive, you will seek not freedom to essentially live without any order or any organization, but you will seek stability. And that stability will come under being under the law of Yahweh and being Christian identity. And for the rest of you, well, hey, pray aloud that Yahweh seeks to spare you, seeks to spare your life now, today, and soon into the future, and that you will live to make it. But as far as, you know, this idiot quarrel between Eli James and Fink about Jews and Mamzers and what Yahweh is going to do with them, I've never seen any genuine white Christian identity person believe that, you know, Yahweh is going to bother. I mean, they're all together creatures outside the law. And therefore, you know, I mean, yeah, I was listening to Fink, and he is so proud of the fact that he's created all the stupid crap of history about how Phoenicians are Israelites. No, they're Canaanite Jews is what they are. You know, I mean, these Sidonians were not, you know, they were not the sons of Heth. They were not the badass Jews. They were the wholesale, you know, they were the wholesale, I'll get for you wholesale Jews here. You know, when, you know, the Carthaginians, you know, like Fink was trying to say, oh, they're Israelites. You know, some of them were Leslie Stahl type Jews like Dido with Aeneas. Well, maybe Aeneas got him some Astrakakis pussy. Maybe he didn't. But I mean, it sort of puts a lie to you. I mean, Troy. The fall of Troy occurred around 1250 or so. And you had the fight between Ramses II and the Hittites when they were at the height of their power in 1279, 1275 BC. There were plenty of white people in Europe. Why, heck, you still had 500 years to go. You still had better than 500 years to go before the Assyrians deported the Israelites. Thinks history is just nonsense. It's just idiocy. And I was listening to Fink. I was downloading Fink, and Fink was screaming. I mean, Fink's little brain is sort of, I think it's been pickled by too much Wigger pussy juice from Melissa Epperson or Epperson or something like that here. Old Cammy from Tennessee has gone ahead and given them some. So he was like, oh, we live like man and wife. Well, fine, I don't care. It's just that, I mean, Fink has been through a number of women before, and none of his kids and none of his ex-wives. Only one of his kids, and most of his kids want nothing to do with him. They know that Daddy is a psycho Jew. They know he's an evil piece of shit. In fact, I remember this was some time ago here. This is about a couple of years ago. One of his daughters said, hey, I'm ashamed. I'm Bill Fink's daughter. He's just a murderous, sociopathic, lying piece of shit. I want nothing to do with him. Or maybe that was his niece. I don't know. She said, heck, Fink's family know that he's a piece of shit. You know what I mean? In case, folks, gossip is forbidden by the Bible. Yeah, Visser. Shoot. Guess number 22 is the piss possum. He whines, same way with Fink here. Fink does nothing but lie about people. Same way with Visser. According to Visser and Fink's notion here, being Jews, you tell the truth about them, that's slander and gossip. Sort of like Clint Downey. She didn't deny what me and Hengist had found out, that she was a whore. She was an adulterous whore. She'd run off and divorced her, husband, the grand dragon, and married the Claude, a.k.a. Mark Downey, and essentially was put up in Mark Downey's parents' rental houses here, and then got divorced and married, which will make her a whore, adulterous whore, under dual seedline Christian identity belief here. But hey, also the part about her being the sexual mascot before she ran off with the Claude. Clint Downey didn't deny that. She didn't deny at all. She took 8 days to, essentially she didn't accuse me or Hengist of being liars. She said that we are malicious gossipers. And then she tried to go ahead and figure out who had faked her out. She named one of the women who had faked her out, but not Pure Silly. Pure Silly had gotten away with it here. If Clint Downey is listening to this here, Pure Silly, Pure Silly was one of the heifers who faked you out. And later on, Pure Silly, this was in 2007, knew that Debbie Downey was a big lying whore here, was a sexual mascot, but supposedly she was putting Pastor John Britton on trial for saying as much. And I said, why the hell do you even listen, on this identity court? Why do you listen to Clint Downey and Meerkat Mark when old Pure Silly knows damn well, because she's the one that finked out old Clint, knows dang well that Debbie Downey is a big old whore, who's a sexual mascot, and she's giving you a hard time for repeating what Hengist told me? You gotta be kidding. Okay. Anyway, don't make me, I'm scared. Well, that's good. I mean, hey. I'm glad Dembski. I mean, heck. It's sort of unfair. By the way, I have where William B. accused old Peerless Goodman for being a Jew, and essentially, you know, here is Visser, and here is Obagender Bender. How do you know? Because Marty told me. Essentially, I have this thing here. Well, later on, Obagender Bender said that Dembski was a Jew, and said so was News Guy. But what I found hilarious was you end up having the intern, another Jew. Crippled, epileptic Jew faggot intern was on his dog farts can peel paint. You know, here he has another Jew. I mean, why in the world should Obagender Bender get down on Dembski? And then later on, Newsky cannot get down on the intern. I mean, hey. I mean, does Visser and Obagender Bender think that some Jews are better than other Jews? Now, I've admitted that I think Dembski is a lot better Jew than Peerless Goodmamser or the intern. And I've told Dembski is that, hey, we'll have an SS policy here to where the better Jew will go ahead and be the capo. And by the way, Dembski, I was thinking of you is that you called in with Gary here and was trying to put Gary on the spot, but Gary did pay attention to you. He said you were in torment about you and your mom and daddy being Jews and being squeezed out of Jew pussy. But I was thinking is that Dembski, it was a little bit much to, well, assume that an elder like Gary would be able to go ahead and hold down a fat, screaming Jew, you know, to geld him here. I mean, Gary, I'm quite sure, is gelded, you know, Holstein calves here. You know, I mean, probably it'd be me and Logan that would hold you down and let Gary do the nut cutting here. I mean, Gary is an old man here. He's not able to hold down a Jew in order to geld him here. I mean, he'd have to do, you know, I mean, it'd be me and Logan here who'd have to hold you down here while Gary did the nut cutting, okay? Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take another break and we'll be back. So, folks, hail victory.